We're live. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast hosted by a northern nerd. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul, and tonight is a special night. We are joined by what I would call a podcast professional. So we're going to be showing how it's done a little bit tonight. So we are joined by the amazing Brian Garner from the Be More Super podcast.
Hello. I don't know about professional. That is very nice. To be fair, I just fake it. I just fake it before I, and just make out that I'm making it. But thank you so much for bringing me on to your show. You guys actually rock. I mean, I've been following your social media for absolute ages, and the stuff that you have on is just absolutely amazing. And can I just say, I love the logo. I mean,
Yes.
everyone loves a gremlin.
It has changed its form a few times through the years.
Slightly.
The original one was just a blue logo with a arrow pointing up. Then it changed into me just completely ripping off Jurassic Park, and I was like, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. And I think then it turned into a Gizmo and Spike, and it was a little bit too busy, and it find its final form, which I think we'll still probably get sued one day, but
But hey, it's worth it.
Well, talking about lawsuits, I'm sure we can have a conversation in a bit about the new Superman movie and me receiving a cease and desist email from Warner Brothers. And I'll explain why. And it's quite comical. I mean, I don't know when you want me to get into that, but yeah.
I think what we'll do first is the disclaimer. So before we get into anything. So everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page. You can join the Nerdy Up North Discord or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of nerdism.
Very well said. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, that was lovely. That was
Oh,
lovely.
thanks. I say it at the beginning of
You
every
say
episode.
me professional. I mean, come on. I mean, I don't even have like comments like that. I just say it and hope for the best, and
I'm
then I
not
get
gonna
cease and desist from Warner
desist.
Brothers. You know what I
I'm
mean?
not. I'm not gonna brag. It has been played on the BBC before,
Oh,
so
can I just stop you there? You've got a cat in the background. Oh, it's
I
gone.
do.
Oh, you can't
But
have a podcast
there will
without a
be
cat.
there will be many popping in and out. I have three, and I actually have a chair right here that one will come and join with me later on. So yes, I should have warned you. My cats just wander
I was going to
around.
say, that is definitely not a cat next to you, Sam. It's a chair. So just in case you were going, yes, I've got three, just one here. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? It's
Really is.
very well behaved.
It is. Normally,
He's not well behaved. He's managed to turn the entire podcast off before with a flick of his tail. So he's not well
See,
behaved.
all my cats are downstairs and locked away. I've got three cats, and
Oh, we're all three cat people then.
one of them's actually called Clark.
Right.
Of course he is.
My daughters are actually called Lois and Kara.
Right.
Oh, they're
So
so
I got
sweet.
away with that. Can you believe it? I got away with that.
They are good names though.
They are.
And I thought I would, these are my genuine glasses, but I thought I would wear them tonight because I was like, oh,
You're
Clark
going.
Kent's kinda.
You're going to try and hide the kiss curl with it and stuff.
But they are genuine, my very focals. They are genuine glasses.
That's it. You've got to poke yourself in the eye now to prove it.
Oh,
Do you know? There we go. Oh, there you go. And a cat appears.
yes,
She
this
is
is the one that will come and join
what
us.
you'll notice about Sammy. She is very gullible and susceptible. If you tell her to do something, she will, in essence,
I
do it.
do.
Wow.
But yes, so Brian, with you being first time on the Nerdy Up North podcast,
Yes.
and I know we didn't prepare you for this before, so I do apologize. Give us your nerdy credentials. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Nerdy credentials. Literally, I've been a fan of pop culture since a very, very young boy. The fact that I didn't have many friends, I got bullied a lot. I was like the perfect ingredients for a nerd and a geek ready to be made. I mean, for me, I've been a fan of Superman since birth.
Right.
My dad did a very, very good job introducing Superman to me at such a young age. I think, to be honest, the first Superman movie I can remember is Superman 2,
Right.
which stuck with me, and then obviously 3, which traumatized me. But yeah, I've been a Superman fan, and I've been a collector of autographs and movie props for many, many decades. So yeah, I'm a geek at heart, and definitely a nerd.
Definitely.
And
again, I love the aspect, like you say, you've just been mentioning all the different aspects that you love about Superman with your podcast calling Be More Super being such like kind of like a wink and a nod to Superman. I have to admit, I have been doing my homework this week a little bit as well. I've been checking out your episodes, having a look through, and the names of the people that you've interviewed, like this is just a few, like Neil Marshall, like a friend of our show, absolutely amazing. Steve Guttenberg. Katie Sackhoff, which is just nerd royalty,
wow.
And she was lovely as well when you were speaking to her. Like that was just such a nice interview that you did. Aaron Ashmore, again, Iceman from X-Men and like say loads of different things. And the very famous, the very wonderful Dan Hayes. Yes.
Infamous.
I would say. And very scary as well.
On so many levels. The love child of Christopher Reeve.
Apparently so. As rumored.
The almost love child of Christopher Reeve. She did actually mention this on Monsters. She did tell the story of how Christopher Reeve was almost her dad.
But almost.
Almost.
But wasn't.
Almost, but never.
Yeah. And I've never heard that story, so I'll be messaging her very, very soon to say, what the hell, Dan? You know what I mean?
So one question, like before we start getting into the Man of Steel, all these people, because you mentioned before when we weren't live that you started this podcast in lockdown. You've been going now for 4 years and amazing successfully as well, like say, so I'm not jealous at all, just saying. But do you ever still get nervous with all these people and different characters that you do get to interview from different shows, like you've done from like Superman and Lois, from like all these different people that you get a chance to speak to? Because I know Sam will be a tin when, even when I interviewed Neil Marshall, I went to kind of like a trance when I talked to him. I don't remember anything. And afterwards, when he gone, I just broke down crying. I was like, I've just talked to Doug Soldier's guy. But do you ever, like, does that ever go away, or is it still that nerve still there?
It does go away. You know what? When I first started, because the podcast was originally started for my love of Superman, and then it slowly transitioned and snowballed into something else, and then before I knew it, it wasn't about Superman, it was more about finding out what make these what makes these actors super, you know, what makes them great. And at the beginning I did get a bit nervous, because do you know what, I was a guy that was started his podcast with an iPad and an audio interface, and that was it. And before you knew it, I was interviewing Sarah Douglas that played Ursa in Superman 1 and 2, and and it was just crazy, and then it just snowballed, and then I did get nervous to begin with, but then I realized, do you know what, they're just normal people. They're just normal people, they're normal actors. And I often find, and no offense to the bigger guests that I've had on, but I find that the ones that are not as famous are normally the nicer ones,
right? Okay.
Because it's sort of like they haven't got any ego or anything to prove or anything like that. And I've got to say, if you ever get any guests on, make sure they're from Canada, because they are all very nice. Honestly, I've never had a bad Canadian on my show. But yeah, I mean, I don't get famous. I mean, I'm sure that if I got, you know, I don't know, Henry Cavill or Denzel Washington or someone like that, I would be nervous. And it's more, you know, nerves is good because nerves mean that you care.
Yeah.
That nerves keep you on the ball. Because I don't know if Dan remembers, I mean, you'll have to ask her, that I remember going on stage once when I was a red coat and I didn't have any nerves. And I went on and started the song with this live band, and I just forgot the words. I just forgot the words, and I made them up. And I heard someone on the balcony shout, "They're not the words." But so nerves keep you on the ball.
Yeah, that's keeps you on the edge type thing.
Yeah,
no, I like that. So I know it's funny enough when you talk about like the guests and like how nice they are. We had Ian White on, who's
he's lovely.
Honestly. One of them, like we started off, we were like, oh, because we've never really did guests like that before, so it was kind of like having a conversation with him live, and he was like getting him in. Then one of our like friends who does the Top Grumps podcast, Lee, just asked him about this weird werewolf movie that we've never seen. I think it was called Blood Moon, and he just lit up. He just came alive, and then from that moment, like all the stories, and then when we logged off afterwards, We thought, oh, we're only getting for an hour, and then he would go. He literally afterwards, he was staying with us. We couldn't actually get him off the Zoom call because we wanted to celebrate and say we've just done a really amazing interview. Yeah. And he was just like, he's like, told us, he's like, oh, I'm just gonna chill. Here he is now. I was like,
yeah, I bumped into him. He was at a convention that I went to, and I knew he would recognize Lee because Lee asked him that awesome question. So I was like, I'm only gonna go over if Lee's there. And when I came over, he went, oh, it's you. And I was like, hi.
was this before or after the restraining order? I mean, just out of curiosity.
Maybe before.
Talk about restraining.
Recognize, yeah. There is a picture of you by his table. Going, what happened to this woman?
Have you seen this girl?
But can I just say that buzz that you had after that interview?
Yeah.
How addictive is that?
Oh, scary.
And that you just want to then get the next person on. And yeah. I suppose my only advice to anyone out there wanting to do shows like this and like what I do is get people on that you love. Get people on that you like personally, because that will so show across the screen and through the interview itself. Because I've seen so many interviews where people have been doing it as sort of a tick box exercise, and it's awful, and it's not fair on the guest. But how addictive is that? I mean, you just want to keep on getting that feeling. And I suppose that is one thing that's good about interviewing celebrities is that, you know, it's just so addictive.
Well, it's not just celebrities. Like, again, not to blow smoke up your ass, I was nervous for you coming out. Because, like, not to say that we don't do a good job, but, like, when I was watching your stuff, I was like, shit, this is top level. This is, like, well-produced. Everything looks good from like saying so. I again got them nerves and feelings and stuff like that. But when we're live and we're talking, that kind of goes away. Then afterwards, like say, we'll get the buzz. But like, even having people on that I generally haven't had a like conversation, like we've talked through Instagram, but we've not really talked like person to person. It's and it's such a nice feeling. That's kind of the thing that I love, and like having these kind of conversations and finding out people's like what they're nerdy about, what they love, and how they got into it. So, but yes, and I'm interested to find out about the cease and desist now. So, yeah.
So, there is a stuntman called Justin Howell, and he worked on Halo.
Right.
He was Master Chief's stunt double. And I had him on again because he was doing another film. And then while I was interviewing him, he was halfway through working on Superman. And he's actually Superman's stunt double in the new James Gunn movie. So we started to talk about it. We started to talk about the suit. You know, how was the suit? Because no one knew what the suit looked like.
See where this is going.
This was last... when was it? It was last April.
Right.
And so we had this interview and I released it and, you know, everything went fine. And then I got an email literally 6 hours before I was ready to fly off to do, to Chicago, saying that, you know, we appreciate obviously the interview, but there are factors in that interview that we need to be cut out ASAP.
Right.
Because of obviously, and at the top it says cease and desist. And you sort of, when it's Warner Brothers as well, you think, oh my God, what have I done?
Yeah.
And so I had to go back and edit out all the bits about Superman.
Oh, no.
And it broke my heart. And even Justin messaged me privately and just said, look mate, I've just had a phone call from Warner Brothers just saying, is there any chance that you can take it out because it might affect my job.
Jesus.
So I took it out it's the first ever cease and desist I've ever had in my whole life. And
I bet you framed it though.
To be fair, I mean, I could have stood my ground and say no, because you know, press is free press, isn't it? I mean, if someone says, but then I'm very much, I value what people think of me and the relationships going forward. So I know my relationship with Justin Howe, the stuntman, and Warner Brothers would be more beneficial to me if I took it out. So
yes.
I had to put it all out. While waiting in an airport on my computer and trying to get Wi-Fi,
and
cease and desist.
But there's like a positive come from that, because as you said, because with you being so understanding and compliant to what they've said, they've probably got your name on record now. If they come down like say, oh, we're going to release certain people to talk to, like say Brian was really helpful when we had this issue.
Yeah.
Say you go higher on the list. So yeah, again, I can understand people say no, I don't want to. It's part of my thing, but it probably would be more detrimental to do that than not.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've just gotten warnings off them before on YouTube videos, just copyright warnings.
Oh, yeah, they're fine, though. I mean, the thing is, they will earn money from those videos because of the copyrights, you know.
Yeah, they were like, we'll earn money, but you won't. It's like, mate, I wasn't earning money to start with, so it's absolutely fine.
The only scary one we had was we were doing, for Halloween, a Freddy Krueger episode. And we were talking about like all the different Nightmare on Elm Streets. So I put a clip on because it was a time when, again, we were learning what we're doing. So I put a clip live of the television scene where Patricia Arquette, was it?
I think so.
Yeah, her head goes through the TV and it's like, welcome to primetime, bitch. All everyone was watching saying, oh, yous have been taken down. YouTube had took us offline live because we showed a clip longer than 30 seconds or something. So...
We also got took down by the BBC.
Oh, that was for Ghostwatch, though.
Really?
Yeah. BBC only let us show 10 minutes of that.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's good to play against grain every now and again because, you know, it's good to get a warning every now and again because, you know, it keeps you on the ball. Keeps you excited.
Just don't get one off Facebook because we've just come out with restrictions for a full year for trading places.
We can laugh about it now.
Really?
Yeah. Full restrictions. Wow. They wouldn't show any of our posts to anyone for a year because I shared a Dan Aykroyd poor picture.
Yeah.
Oh.
We can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was not funny.
No. Yes. So your love of Superman. So you've said this love started from birth. So when was the actual time? Was it Superman? You said Superman 2 was the first one you can remember.
I can remember Superman 2 and loving that. And then Superman 3 was the next one.
Yeah.
And that freaked me out. Mm. It gave me nightmares because of the woman going into the machine robot, and the Richard things Pryor going onto her face. Yeah. And that just traumatized me. It really, really did. The original ones, as I mentioned at the beginning, you know, I got bullied quite a lot at school, like by girls as well. It wasn't even like, I mean, bullying now is it's all over the internet. Do you know what I mean? They don't really put the effort in anymore. Do you know what I mean?
At least it's really lazy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, back then they physically had to kick you. And so for me, I found solace in Superman. I can remember having it on Betamax.
Right.
And just watching it over and over and over again, and I just loved it. Just loved the fact that, you know, he stood for what's right, you know, truth and justice in the American way, which we can't say the American way anymore. It's changed.
Truth and justice.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just, I don't know, it just brought me comfort, and I just fell in love with them films and the way it was shot and the way they spoke, and I just thought it was fantastic.
So was it, as I said, was it the films exactly, or was it like the whole identity of Superman? Because when you, like, because me, I, same with you, I loved Superman from the Superman 1 and 2, because I really did believe a man can fly after watching those movies as a kid, and to me, that's when my love of superheroes started. But then I moved on to comics, and my love of Superman changed a little bit when it came to the comics, because it wasn't the same Superman as I wanted and I loved from the Christopher Reeve. Because in the Christopher Reeve movies, there's vulnerability, there's a human aspect. And for a long time in the Superman comics, that was quite lacking. It was very much, this man is too much of a Boy Scout, this man is too... It was hard to relate and hard to get things. That's when I moved on to the Dark Knight. When it comes to like comics, that's where my love of Batman comes, because Superman to me wasn't the same. So was it? Did you have a similar type of feel? Or
to be fair, I mean, I never, and I'll be honest now, I never got into comics.
Right. Okay.
Believe it or not. Surprising.
And literally, I bought my very first comic in Chicago when I was there. Let me see if I can grab it.
Right.
While he does that, I'm going to turn my light on because we're going to go very dark very quickly.
So, I was in Chicago, and there is an artist that does amazing artwork for Superman. And I got him to sign a comic, and I got it sent away because I've got a friend at CBCS. And it's that one just there. And he signed it for me as well. His name is Jorge Jimenez, and he's a great artist. And it's just beautiful. The way he draws Superman, I just think is fantastic. And that was the very first comic. And then not only that, I met a guy called Chip Sadarsky.
We'll just turn him off right now.
And I didn't know who he was. And I was chatting to him for about 15 minutes. And I said that I never bought a comic before. And I bought, he had this book, Batman, something to do with Vault.
Right.
I can't remember what it is. It's one of his biggest ones. And he actually, for free, he literally signed it and drew a remark in it.
Right.
Of Batman. And Jorge was the guy that did the artwork for it.
Right.
But I didn't know who he was. I met all these artists for these comics. All these people walking around idolizing him.
Yeah.
I didn't know who he was, but yeah.
He's a big deal. His big name.
No, it's just interesting because, like, as you said, when you go through like the different levels of Superman, that's where a lot of people are kind of. If you go back to the Superman on screen, like if you even go back to like the TV shows, like the Dean Cains and the Tom Wellings, it's very much different to what we got in the comics. So for me, I didn't even start liking the comic version until Kingdom Come came, where it was like Superman in the future. And different aspects. I know there's been rumors that they're going to do that book so many different times. I know they kind of touched on it with the CW show when they've done the whole crossover.
Brandon Routh came back out as I actually got that picture signed of him in the Kingdom Come sort of outfit.
Yeah.
And he was shocked that I had that image because it wasn't public yet.
Right.
And,
you get this?
Well. But yeah, I mean, with the shows and everything like that, I mean, the Superman world is so massive.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to grab a bit from it. And I know that the CW shows have tried their best with it. And Lois and Clark with Dean Cain. And you had Superboy as well with Gerard Christopher, which can I add, I'm getting Gerard Christopher and Dean Cain on my show.
Wow.
So I'm really, dropping really that excited, one excited about that. It's quite funny. I met Dean Cain in London, and just before going, I messaged him to say, my wife is heavily pregnant. Please don't overexcite her. And when we went, he recognized her from obviously the pregnant belly, and he straight away was on form. I mean, they did do a really, really good job. And, you know, I mean, Michael B. Jordan's been you know, thrown about to be playing Superman, which I think would be awesome. I think he's great in whatever he does. Yeah. I haven't seen Sinners yet.
Oh, it's stunning.
I want to watch it.
Oh, it's stunning.
And it looks amazing, the soundtrack and the way it's filmed.
It's a different type of movie. If you can see it in the cinema, it's something of an experience. Just because, as I said, the music is just out of this world. Literally, you feel the music. But just the tone, and Michael B. Jordan in that movie playing two different roles, different parts. I don't know how, I know basically he's done double duty, filmed the same scene twice because he's got to stand in different positions, but different personalities and stuff. Honestly, it's mesmerizing.
You genuinely think that they've managed to split Michael B. Jordan because he's that good. You think, oh God, there is actually two of them. But I have never had a movie make me feel like the sun is shining on us. That's how brilliant this movie is. I could like feel the heat of the sun.
I love a vampire movie. I love vampires. I'm obsessed with them. There are good vampire movies and they're not very good ones, like Twilight. But
I'll stand by Twilight. I still don't mind it.
I like horror, as you might have noticed. I don't like vampires very much. I like Lost Boys and I like Interview with the Vampire. And I went through my whole Anne Rice, you know, goth girl fears, but I don't like Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm not a fan. Come for me, please don't. I really did enjoy. I did an episode for Monsters on Bela Lugosi and his Dracula, and that was so interesting. Because I love classic Hollywood and I love the classic monsters, so I did enjoy that. But yeah, not a fan. Not a fan of the vampires. Yes.
That is fine.
It would have been interesting, as you said, Michael B. Jordan as Superman. I know there was a little kickback and stuff, but I do find it would have been a really, really interesting concept. And has he done a bad movie? I don't think he has.
No, and I think the kickback, I think, is rotten. Again, the community out there, I think, you know, there are a lot of keyboard warriors that like to put pictures up. I mean, they're doing it for Bella Ramsey at the moment
bless
in
her.
The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Doing loads of horrible, absolutely horrible memes and pictures. And they did the same with Little Mermaid and then obviously Snow
White. Oh, that
was
awful.
And I just think, and even, I forgot her name now, in Obi-Wan Kenobi, they were really racial towards her.
Yeah.
And I just think it's really, really sad and it's wasted energy for
it
these people. They need to put their minds to good and do something else, just stay off the internet.
I mean, that would be a good start. I don't think they realize that representation does matter. And when the Little Mermaid thing happened, all these videos on TikToks of little girls who were watching it and they could see themselves as a Little Mermaid. And I was like, that's it. That's why it's done for. Like, representation does matter.
And you know what? My girls have never turned around and gone, Daddy, why is that mermaid Latino? Mermaid mixed race?
Yeah.
You know, they don't care.
It's,
because
you're talking about a fish person
and is bred into us.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
And, you know, but with Michael B. Jordan, I think he would make an awesome Superman. But again, that will ruffle feathers because we are used to the standard looking Superman.
But we didn't, we had it years ago as well when Will Smith was rumored to play Captain America for a period. The hell on that caused online. And then when we finally did get the black Captain America, they were like, oh, he's not my Captain America. It's like, fine, it doesn't have to be your Captain America. He is Captain America. Deal with it.
It's Sam Wilson. Get over it.
I mean, the thing is, how confusing is it for me? I mean, I love Superman. So when someone says, who's your favorite Superman? It's so confusing because literally I love them all for different reasons.
Yeah.
And I mean, Reeve will always be my OG Superman because that's the man that I mean, in other films like Somewhere in Time, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful film. If you haven't watched it, it's the most romantic sort of classic period film that you can watch. But yeah, I mean, all of them from Dean Cain, Tom Welling, Brandon Routh, which I thought was amazing in Superman
Returns.
I
loved his look.
I love what Bryan Singer did. He continued from Superman 2 with Reeve and continued that story in Superman Returns. I mean, it's a pity that Bryan Singer has turned out to be an absolute douche when it comes down to directing.
He's a real-life monster.
Yeah. But the film itself, I thought, was classic. And taking aside all the controversy with Kevin Spacey, he was awesome. He's an awesome actor. And again, this is why I don't believe, I think Denzel Washington once said, if you if you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you read the news, you're misinformed. And a lot of the time with these actors, I don't take it as gospel when you hear on the news that they've been they've been taken to court for X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
With the exception of Diddy, of course. But
I think the court case speaks for itself on that one.
I know. I mean, Brandon Routh, I just think's fantastic as Superman, and it's a pity that he didn't get another shot at it. But it was great that he got brought back for the CW.
It was kind of a bit of closure for that as well. It felt like him as a person. I think he did interviews afterwards. It felt like it closed the door that he always like kind of felt like it was never quite finished there.
Yeah.
Was the fan base mean to him?
Not him. It was more towards it was, again, this is where I always have this conversation. We're talking about stories, people's different interpretation of stories. Like, that's what movies are. Like, you can't own a movie. Like, people are so close-minded.
Precious.
Like, you can't remake this. You can't do this. Of course you can. People can just tell a different story, a different way of telling it. And people, like I said, might not enjoy it. But then again, that film might not be for you. I remember seeing Superman Returns at an IMAX cinema in Manchester, and there was extra scenes in because with IMAX there was extra things like where Superman was growing up, And it was during like the 3D phrase as well. So seeing things like and when he fall and that, he was floating and stuff for the first time, everything like kind of come out. It was like one of the, like, say, spectacles. And we, again, even modern day, the hate that Man of Steel got, the hate that Batman versus Superman got. I still love their movies for different like reasons. Like, people say, oh, that they can't do that. They can, because it's a different person's interpretation of that character, that story. It's just saying, again, you might not agree, but then you go and do your own thing. You go and do something better if you think that's not right. But the way that people go on, it's like things that belong to them. But
again, it's a prime example when you've got a book that gets turned into a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The majority of people don't like it because they're reading the book themselves and they are imagining the movie in their head.
Yeah.
They're imagining what the scenes are going to look like, how it's going to play out.
Mm-hmm.
So when they watch the movie, it doesn't sync up with what they imagined it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what they need to understand, it's the director and the screenwriters that adapted that story into what they think is going to be the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Superman Returns. I mean, I went to the BFI in London, the big one on the roundabout, the IMAX one. And when it was in 3D, you had a little icon in the bottom to put your glasses on.
Yeah.
And for me, what blew me away was where he pulled up the ship, you know, the yacht, out of the water. And it was just incredible. It really, really was. And I agree with, Man of Steel. I think it's a wonderful film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more, I don't know, more geared towards adults than kids.
Mm.
So this is why I'm really looking forward to the James Gunn one, because I think it will be the first time I'll be able to take my girls to the cinema to watch a Superman movie. I'm so excited.
That would be such a moment, because I feel like that is something, because I think you're right, Man of Steel felt very adult and for the adults. And Batman versus Superman as well, because you had two major comic books being like amalgamated together in that one. But I feel like James Gunn is going to have such a fine line to appease you, the older generation, but also manage to bring in a brand new audience as well.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got such a good grasp on it. Are you a fan of the original Superman, George Reeves. We did a Superman episode not long ago, and it's not my first time seeing Superman. I actually grew up with this, and Superman 2 is the movie that my dad tried to distract me with to get me to stop watching Ghostbusters. It didn't work. But we did an amazing episode on Christopher Reeves at the beginning of the year, and I kept calling George Reeves George Harrison. And I was like, very, very different person. So yes,
I found out something today though, like during my research, George Reeves wasn't actually the first Man of Steel on screen.
No, it was Kirk Allen.
Kirk Allen, yeah.
Yep. Yes, Kirk Allen was the first man to play Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And
1948.
Neil, I think her name was the first Lois Lane as well.
Mm-hmm.
And a really good fact is if you watch the first Superman movie with Christopher Reeve, in the scene when they're on the train and Jeff, what's his name? I forgot his surname now. They're going to kill me. Jeff, who plays a young Superman, he's running across by the train, and there's a little girl on the train, and she gets told by her mom and her dad to, you know, to not look outside. That is Kirk Allen, and that is Noel Neal, that they were the first people that played Clark Kent, Superman, and Lois Lane.
So
as George Reeves, I wasn't, to be fair, I haven't really watched a lot of his stuff. I have Kirk Allen because I was a great fan of when I was a kid. I used to get tapes of the Superman, like radio plays.
I love them, like the little talkies.
Oh, and the way they spoke. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? And like, they talk like that, and it's just great.
Bones on the.
I generally didn't know about that, because I guess because I know all about George Reeves is because I love Scandalous Hollywood.
Yeah.
And he is one of the scandals of Hollywood. So I've watched a fair few documentaries, and it obviously includes his clips and whatnot from Superman.
Yeah.
So it's just that's probably I've just haven't looked any further, because it's like, oh, you don't have a scandal attached to it? I don't want to know.
It was interesting as well, because I think it was like on the cartoons. There used to be like little shorts like on Mighty Mouse. There used to be like shorts of Superman like before and after an episode of Mighty Mouse as well. But yeah, I didn't know about Kirk Allen until like looking into it this week. Yeah. But
I've actually got a certificate. It's a certificate from Metropolis in Illinois. And it's actually signed by Kirk Allen, Jerry Siegel, and Joe Shuster, who were the people that created Superman. Yes. So they've all signed it. Mm-hmm. So that's nice and neatly kept away, safe, in case I need to sell it in the future.
So things get a bit bad.
But yeah, things get a bit tight, and I can't sell one of the kids. I'll have to sell that. Do you know what I mean? I think the kids would go first. Kids would go first. Depends if they're behaving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Kirk Allen, great Superman. George Reeves. If you like George Reeves, there is a great film called Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck. Yeah.
Ben Affleck. Yeah. It's so good.
Isn't it weird that he's actually played Batman and Superman? Technically.
Yeah. I love that aspect.
And Daredevil as well now. So yeah.
He's Daredevil too. Well, you always said he only ever did Daredevil because it was going to be Frank Miller's Daredevil, and he was like, "No one's going to have me as Batman, like, so I might as well do something with Frank Miller." Yeah, I've seen it. Like I say, I love Hollywood. Anything Hollywood scandal.
Mm-hmm. There's loads.
I have a whole big master book that gives me an encyclopedia of every Hollywood scandal that ever happened.
Oh wow!
True story. I actually do.
You're going to be very busy then, because the amount of scandals in Hollywood. Geez. Oh.
There's a lot.
We know about that is.
Well, I asked for the book Hollywood Babylon because I wanted to see, because obviously that's a work of fiction, but I wanted to see what was being wrought about in Hollywood at the time. And my sister was like, couldn't find it, but I found this and just handed me this massive book with just every listener of Hollywood
but
of a Hollywood
quick question,
scandal.
Sam, do you think Marilyn Monroe was killed, or did she kill herself?
I'm a huge Marilyn fan, like obsessed with Marilyn. She's in my hallway. I see her every morning. I think
not
literally. I think she was killed. How do you know? I think she was killed.
Yeah.
And I have a theory on how they did it to how they hid it. It's a bit graphic, but injection, because there's a lot of things with the pills and everything, and the bottle top was still fastened and they didn't actually find anything in her stomach. But what they could have found is, if they were really looking hard enough, is a toxin that was injected through her bum. That's what, because I've heard a lot of conspiracy
but
theories.
They waited over an hour before
they waited
help.
4 hours. It was around about 4 hours. So they rang, her housemaid found her. She then rang her doctor. Her doctor then did whatever for this 4 hours, and then they called the police first, then they called an ambulance. Tell me there's nothing there suspicious with that.
I completely agree.
But I have read the books on the guy who was a mortician. I've watched the interviews with the guy who was a mortician, who did her whole funeral service. I am that person.
We do call her the Queen of Macabre for a reason. But yes.
Sorry, Superman, I derailed it with Hollywood.
No, it always happens at some point. There's got to be a death talk about at some point during the podcast. But yeah, so again, coming back to the Christopher Reeve ones, because there's some that's amazing and there's some that's interesting, shall we say.
You're talking about Superman 4.
I don't think it's as bad as people make out.
Do you know why it was limited in money?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
No.
So Canon Films that made it, so right at the same time they were making another film that I really enjoyed, and it was part of my growing up, which was Masters of the Universe.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
With Dolph Lundgren.
Yes.
So basically, Christopher Reeve only agreed to make Superman 4 if they took on his screenplay.
Right.
Because he wanted to do one where it was more about, you know, what could Superman do around the world, not just in America. So that's why he went to like the UN, and it was all about nuclear weapons and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually quite like Superman 4. It was limited in the way of budget.
Yeah.
You had Clive Mantle that was originally cast as Nuclear Man 1, and he actually filmed his parts and everything like that. And the sad thing is, he got invited to the premiere, but he didn't know that he had been cut out of the actual film
entirely.
So I had time with Clive, and he was just, you could tell that he was actually heartbroken by it, because he filmed quite a lot of stuff for the film.
Right.
But I still liked it. I mean, he brought back it brought back Gene Hackman, it had John Cryer, and it was a good story. I think they could have done better with it.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they filmed in Milton Keynes. It gives everyone a good place to go and check out.
That is incredibly random.
Bannatyne's gym, where they actually filmed in and stuff like that. And but yeah, I mean, it's not the best. Even Christopher Reeve said in an interview that really the first two was his favourite, which obviously they filmed back to back. They filmed at the same time.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of controversy against that, because Richard Donner, which we all love, and which, you know, he'll always be remembered by the great, great films that he's made. He was directing, you know, the film at the time, and they're making them both at the same time. And obviously they ran out of money, the Salkinds, and they did what they call a negative pickup deal. So so the Salkinds paid for everything. And they would only get the money back from Warner Brothers when they actually gave them the finished article. So they had to do the first movie, wrap it up, and send it to them. And then, because they got paid, they decided to get rid of Richard Donner and get on Richard Lester, who was famous for like Bond movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think Lester got a bit of a hard time afterwards as well, because
by the cast especially. Yeah.
I don't think it was to his fault. He just was trying to do a job. No. But I remember reading interviews about him. Like, he got a lot of shit for just trying to do the best for the best, the bad situation.
Yeah. And then you've got Margot Kidder that had issues. This is why you don't see a lot of her in Superman 3 and Superman 4, because she had a falling out with the director and the makers and everything like that. One little fact, though, I didn't realise, and I only learned not long ago, I had a guest on, and it was Margot Kidder's niece called Janet Kidder, and she was in Star Trek Discovery. She played the green woman. What's her name? Asara? No.
No idea.
Anyway,
you are talking to the wrong people when it comes to Trek.
But she was saying that she was on set like all the time, because she was living at the time with her auntie. But I didn't realise that Margot Kidder and Richard Pryor was in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. I didn't know that. That was amazing.
I told you this when we did the episode, the Superman episode. But yeah,
you didn't tell Brian, he wasn't there.
I wasn't there.
Sorry, Brian. I told the internet.
but I didn't realise. It was news to me.
I got a bit of a shock when I read that. I was like, I could not put them two together. No, I couldn't. I learned a lot about Margot Kidder when I did Black Christmas for Monsters. She's a joy.
Yeah.
And she was a joy in that film. Like, she really was. Yeah. And when we did the Superman episode, obviously I had to go and do my research, because Superman's not my thing. It's my husband's, but not mine.
But she fell in love with it during this experience.
I really did. I am so proud of the Superman episode we did. It was so, we did the first movie, the second one, and then we talked about the man himself. We talked about the documentary.
Which it's one of the most special documentaries I've seen in a long time.
So special. That's such a good word to describe it. But I learned a lot about the cast and how she was really affected by the change in director that she did, and she regretted it. She did regret the how she took it out on everyone, but she didn't know how to. She was so down at the fact that, because they had such an amazing experience of the first part
with Richard Donner,
and they ripped it away in the second part, which meant it ripped her spirits out as well. And I was like,
it's interesting though, that because that they went away and they brought back the Donner cut many years later. I recently watched it as well, because I don't know if it was me memory playing tricks on us. I don't know if they showed it on ITV before they re-released it, but I remember seeing a different version to what was actually on the DVD that came out. But
yeah, I just found the DVD to be hilarious because they used sort of screen tests as well, didn't they, to fill in the sort of the story.
You can tell the grains and stuff were completely
you've got Reeve like weighing like 4 pounds soaking wet, so all of a sudden with just
boom, muscles.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is hilarious. It really was.
Well, I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about the documentary. I don't like, did you, I think you've watched it, Brian, just because.
Yeah, do you know what? The documentary, I mean, it's so sad on so many levels because you've got to think that this is a man that could fly. He flew his own planes in the Bostonians and he was an avid horse rider. I mean, he competed with his horse Buck, which, you know, he had the accident on. And it was just heartbreaking to see the journey because obviously I've read his document, his book Still Me, and then his follow-up book, which is called Nothing Is Impossible. It's quite funny, the Still Me book I actually got directly from Dana Reeve,
right?
And she actually signed it to me, so I've got it very safe and all wrapped up. And
yeah, I'd have that well protected.
I know. And literally just the film itself, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, especially with Robin Williams as well, because obviously they were so close. They shared an apartment. They went to Juilliard together. And one of the stories in the documentary that didn't come to light was in his autobiography. It was quite funny because when he made one of his first appearances, he was in obviously in the wheelchair. Robin Williams literally was at the lectern, introduced him. And as he introduced him, he pulled out a big remote control. Pulled the aerial from the remote control and pretended he was controlling Christopher Reeve's chair as he came in on stage. But it's stuff like that, that their relationship and when he passed, I think affected Robin very, very badly as well. But again, for his kids to be left, because obviously Dana passed away as well, and Reeve was so young, and I actually wrote to Will, you know, a while back to ask him about his parents. And I think I've got it just here. Let me just grab it and I'll tell you what it says.
What is his life?
I've got it here. So he sent me a handwritten note. And he wrote on here, "Thank you for the lovely note. It made my day. Thank you for your kind words about my parents. They certainly did leave the world a better place than they found it. The lesson that stays with me most among many is from both of my parents, and that was give more than you take. They lived that, instilled that in me, and I try to live up to their message and example every day. Hope I'm doing okay. Be well, Will." And to be honest, I mean, for someone that young to lose both parents
and to be such a well-adjusted person,
Will learned how to ride his bike from his dad in a wheelchair. How lucky we are as parents to be able to do that for our kids, and how difficult life must have been, and the moments that Reeve, you know, tried to commit suicide when he was hooked up to the machine. You know, he bit his tongue quite a few times to try and kill himself, but then he saw hope. He saw a way of inspiring other people, and he did that. And he had difficulties with insurance, with paying for things. He ended up getting chucked out of the hospital because his insurance company didn't want to pay anymore. But he had great support, and he inspired so many people. I tell you what, though, the one thing I watched on TV that really upset me was the advert where he's in a wheelchair, then he stands up and he starts walking.
Oh, that's so distasteful. I've seen it. Yeah, I saw it.
And everyone complained about it because, again, the tasteful thing. But before he actually passed away, he was actually moving his legs.
Yeah, that's what happened.
He was moving his fingers, which were medically impossible for the condition he had. But, you know, he's done so much with the Christopher Reeve and Dana Paralysis Foundation and you know, it'll always be remembered. I mean, for me, I mean, I've got quite a few of his autographs, and I so I'm an admin on a Facebook group called the Superman the Movie Autograph Collectors Club.
Right,
and we're there to basically help people find genuine autographs from
oh, that's nice.
The Superman world, because about 15, 20 years ago, I bought a Reeve autograph from a dealer in New York. I paid £550 for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up to be fake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
I think it's the same with Stan Lee at the moment. Stan Lee's going through the ringer with like all the fake ones.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I spent the last like 15, 20 years studying Reeve's autograph from his early years to just before, you know, he got paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of fakes out there is absolutely disgusting. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm. That's awful, that, because that could mean so much to so many people for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. And then to find out that it's not real. I didn't know that about the Stan Lee one.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's going to hit this year. I don't know if you've seen the documentary coming out. That's going to be such a hard one.
And again, for Stan Lee, they were cruel to him. You know, towards the end, literally, he was just like a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And but again, with any autographs, I'd always recommend a third party authenticator.
Yes.
like Beckett, JSA, Swayu. There are many out there, but they're there to train. They're trained to, know. Auto pen or something that's forged.
That's good to know. There was an incident a couple of years ago with Ian McKellen where supposedly he was having people send stuff off for him to be signed. I think it was in like the middle of lockdown, and they were getting it back to then find out that it was all fake.
Mm-hmm.
And there was absolute hell on about it. So that's good that there's people out there who can like identify.
I know the full story on that. And I know the people involved. And
I
have heard, but it's shocking. It really is. And
it was horrific.
So again, autographs is one of those things that unless you're there getting it signed yourself,
mm-hmm.
how can you be 100%?
Not with technology these days.
During lockdown, For the Love of Horror had people send stuff in for their guests to sign.
Yeah.
And my friend knew that she had hers signed by Tim Curry because the photograph that was shown of him signing it was her original artwork of him. So he was like, oh, yes, he definitely did sign it.
But no, I mean, we do loads of things like to help authenticate things. It's even from the picture, because what you don't realise is when you turn a picture over, it's got a Kodak stamp, and that Kodak stamp will date that paper.
Mm-hmm.
And if that paper, for instance, for Reeve, you know, he got paralyzed, I think it was in 1995, if I remember rightly. If that paper is dated after that, obviously it's a no-brainer that, you know, he didn't sign it.
No.
So there are ways to get around that, but yeah.
But one thing I did love about the documentary as well, because it wasn't just like, oh, this angel, this perfect person, this perfect thing, it showed him warts and all. And it made you fall in love with him even a little bit more, just to know that he wasn't this perfect person. He wasn't. And it made him, for me, a more interesting. And like, I've always been a Reeves fan, and I've been a huge fan of, like I say, going back to the Superman films and the stuff he's done as well. It broke me. I was like texting Sam saying, I'm watching this, and literally I was just crying my eyes out. Because I remember him making his comeback in Smallville. Like his appearance in
Swan.
Yeah.
Dr. Swan he played in Smallville.
Because I wasn't the biggest Smallville fan, I'll be honest. Like, Smallville didn't do it for me. Tom Welland's best, and he did it. Like, I know what the story they were trying to tell, and they kind of got lost in that story towards just saying, oh, let's see how many cameos and how many people that we can see bring into this universe. But when they said that Christopher Reeve was going to make an appearance, I was fully invested. I watched didn't even care what the story was, but it was just a moment to kind of like bring him back. And there was that kind of sparkle in his eye again as well. That was the magic in it. But
I mean, he went into acting. He was in, he made Rear Window with Daryl Hannah, which was a Hitchcock movie, if I remember rightly.
And then he
directed quite a few other features. But as his health started to deteriorate, he started to move away from that, which is quite sad. But no, the documentary is well worth a watch for any fan.
Yeah,
it is absolutely. Even if you're not a fan, just to learn about the man himself, the relationship he had with Robin Williams.
And talking about him not being a good person, not being the ideal person, I interviewed Jane Seymour, who he was in a film with called Somewhere in Time. And he said that during that film, mm-hmm. they were in a relationship because mm-hmm. he broke off with his wife at the time. Mm-hmm. But then he had to get back with his wife because his wife said she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And yeah, they wanted to stay together, but he had to go back to his wife. So, well, yeah, they're like,
it all worked
people.
Out for him. It all worked out for him. He got dinner in the end, so it worked out. But yeah. I loved the relationship between him and Robin Williams. We did an episode of Robin Williams before we did the Superman one, so I knew a little bit about it. Mm. And kind of like you're just ringing up the hospital, saying a joke, and then just putting the phone down on him. And to think Robin Williams is not only a Juilliard act member, but he's trained as a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Yeah.
Not I mean, in the bad
have
way.
You seen
it's
that
just
documentary,
like
Robin's Witch.
Yes, yeah. I did, and I bawled all the way through it. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I just cried all the way through it. I was like, it wasn't on that one, it was on the Christopher Reeves one where I think it was Glenn Close who said if Christopher was still here, so would Robin. And I was like, oh my god, I totally believe that 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he did so much for him. I mean, when he had the accident, he actually flew, he got Dana and Will. He got him a helicopter, I think it was, to take him straight to the hospital straight away. And he's always been there. And as you said, the jokes of him going into his room with a mask on, pretending like doing a Russian accent. Yeah.
Pretending to be a doctor and then just walking out.
You'd be freaking out and get fucking Patch Adams out of here.
exactly, yeah.
But yeah, moving on to now the big news that everyone's kind of excited, like the buzz for Superman is coming back. We had the teaser and now we've had the full trailer. What is your excitement levels for the new Superman?
Amazing. Do you know what? Anytime the cape is flying, that's what I live for. And the fact that we get a new imagined version, I loved Zack Snyder's version, but this version, as I said, is going to be a version that we're going to be able to take our kids to the cinema to see. And that's what Superman's always been for me, is a family movie. Mm. And the way they've done it, I just think is fantastic. I mean, David Corn Sweat, I just think is an amazing Superman. I just think he looks a part.
For the first time from the trailers, the difference from Clark to Kal-El is monumental. I can actually see why people might not recognize them, because the way they've portrayed, they've given him little curly hair and stuff. I was like, they've thought about this a little bit more than what the glasses.
What was your initial thought when you heard that James Gunn would be doing this? Is kind of like his big starting point for the, the DCU.
When him and Peter, is it Saffron or something like that, took over from DC, I knew straight away that any film that's going to reboot the DC universe, it will be Superman, because he was the first ever. Do I enjoy James Gunn's work? Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I think Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is fantastic. I just think it's really good. And Marvel, for me, has always been family-orientated films. Marvel has always been the ones for the kids and DC ones for the adults.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite nice that he's bringing DC back to now families. And I think that's going to make it even more successful because people are going to be taking their kids.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we first saw his suit, people criticized it because literally it's not like, Henry Cavill, muscles on muscles.
No.
This looks, a bit different.
Mm.
Again, I like it.
Mm. I like
They've got such a job on hand to please everyone. No. And then when
people
be
different
saw
at the same time as well. Because if you're just doing a carbon copy, you'll get the whole excuse. Well, they're just copying off Reeves. They're just copying off this. Yeah. It's like, they've got to be different.
They'll never be seen copying off Nicolas Cage, though, will they?
Yeah. But,
to be fair, though, the things that we got with this in the clips, the things that's striking to me is brightness, is colours, is just everything that you want from Superman is hope. And the scene where he's rushes in and covers the young girl and everything's kind of exploding. And again, I know people are on the fence, but I am so for Krypto. Like, give me, if anything happens to that dog in this movie, honestly, I will.
Well, I won't be able to go into it, that's for sure.
You know that something's going to happen to the dog. This is why I avoid films with animals in. Mighty Joe Young, King Kong, you name it. Something happens to the animal. Crypto is definitely going to have something happen to him.
And I will not be watching
and,
this.
And literally, you know, but apparently James Gunn said Crypto is not the best behaved dog. So he is going to cause a bit of trouble in the film. Mm-hmm. But it's just great to have this. And the characters as well, Metamorph and Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor, which I think is a great casting.
Such a good choice. I love that man. Yeah. And I've been so excited about his work. I love him.
Yeah, he's a really good actor, really good. And then, you know, Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
I mean, I do feel, though, I do feel that James Gunn has got, like, people on speed dial.
Yeah.
That every time he does a project, he goes, yeah, I'm going to put you in.
Mm-hmm. It's Nathan Fillion, Rugger, Michael Rugger, Rosenbaum, who was Lex Luthor. He's one of his actors, one of his best friends.
Yeah.
Now he's, well, look at Peacekeeper. Mm. Everyone in Peacekeeper was either in Guardians of the Galaxy or something he's done with DC. Yeah. They are now his friends. But I did notice the Peacekeeper trailer the other day. Nathan Fillion is in it.
Yeah.
As his character from... Who is he playing?
Guy Gardner. Yeah.
Which is Green Lantern.
Is the arsehole Lantern.
We always said that... Because Nathan Fillion was the voice, because me and my husband, we love the DC animated movies. We love them. And we always said we would love to see Nathan Fillion finally getting that chance to be in the live action version of a Green Lantern, because he's always done the voice work for it. Yeah. And now he is. And even Anth was like, I love
But he's not
choice.
Playing. But he's not playing the Green Lantern that we expected. Like,
I know.
It would have been interesting having him as Hal. But now we're getting him as Guy. I think it's more perfect. Perhaps because Guy Gardner in the comics is a complete idiot. He's just one of the worst lanterns
because
that was ever done.
They've got to be very careful because they've just wrapped filming on Lanterns.
Yes.
So
the TV
Lanterns,
show.
Lanterns, which is the TV show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I did not know about this.
About the Green Lanterns
it's not,
and all
it's
that.
Not, it's
yeah,
not
so,
Marvel. I don't know about it.
I'm the DC fanboy. She's the Marvel.
So they're marrying these up. Mm-hmm. But of course, Hawkgirl is in Peacemaker as well as the film. And we're going to see Alcock in the Superman movie as Supergirl as well, her movie with Lobo.
That's just finished yesterday,
Jason
wasn't
Momoa.
It? Yeah, that finished. Yeah.
So each movie is finished filming, and they've both had a year for the visual special effects to be worked on. So the thing is, I don't like, you know, with modern technology now, we're getting so many spoilers, so many people showing you footage of people on set and what's happening and pictures of Jason Momoa as Lobo.
That was AI, though, apparently. That wasn't real.
Was it?
That was AI, apparently.
Well, he's hoping. Because, I'm sick of it. Yeah. And during, Ghostbusters and Deadpool versus Wolverine, the amount of set pictures that came out, I'm like, I just want to watch the film at this point. And, please stop.
Yeah, that's why I quite like the Superman trailer, because it gave nothing away.
Well, James Gunn did say that in the first one, there's nothing in that trailer that's actually in the movie.
Right.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. This is what they need to be doing, because trailers of the last few years are starting to show way too much. I love that. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
But I just can't wait. The 11th of July. I just can't
wait. Weekend of my birthday.
Oh, there you go. Happy birthday.
Fingers crossed that you get to see it a bit earlier. So, I'm holding a hope for you.
I would be so excited for you.
If I do, literally, because I've managed to see The Flash early, The Batman early, a lot of them. And I get invited down to see, I've been invited down for, I got invited down for Sinners. But it's all the way to London. And for me, it's sort of like, unless it really floats my boat personally, because then it's traveling down on the train and then making sure I get the last train back.
Yeah.
But Superman, I'll be there.
I'm going to pose a question here. And again, no pressure. You can tell us to fuck off. It's quite a thing. If you do get to go to the Superman premiere, would you be up to doing a special episode where we... Do you want to have to tell us about anything about the film? Just the experience?
I'll be
you can tell me about the film. I'll be fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't want any spoilers, but yeah.
What? They literally are so strict. They put you on embargo and you've got to sign something.
We'll release it when you see it.
We had to do a similar for the Wizard of Oz stuff we did, where we weren't allowed to tell a soul until... like a certain date where we were releasing the photos.
Yeah.
But like again, that world is just crazy to me. It's like, we're gonna sue you if you let. It's like, I've got nothing for you to sue. So, but still,
they'll take your pops, start taking your pops off you and your collection away from you. They'll hit you where it hurts, Paul.
But no, I am intrigued because from what I've been seeing that they've been doing at the film premieres, because a few of my friends on Instagram are lucky enough to get invited down and things. Like, unfortunately, with us being up north, we never get invited. Damn it. Not that
it's too far from us.
But like the stuff that they did for was it just recently? Until Dawn, Final Destination Bloodlines. Literally, they had
I got invited to that as well. I actually had Rhea Kilstead. Mm-hmm. She's due to be released on the Swayu channel. I was speaking to her, and she's one of the main casts from Final Destination. Mm-hmm. And we had a really lovely conversation about Tony Todd.
Right.
Because it was so
his
sweet.
Last film. And she was saying that he's such, he was such a gentle giant. He really was. And he wasn't very well while he was on set. Mm-hmm. But but yeah, I mean, I can't wait for that film.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it so we can say goodbye to Tony. So we have an opportunity to say goodbye to the great Tony Todd.
Yeah.
But we did do a warning on our latest episode to say, if you are expecting the Tony Todd that you remember, it's not going to be the case. Yeah. And you have to remember he was incredibly poorly during this. But Tony obviously had his reasons.
Yeah.
And we are there to support it.
Mm-hmm. And to flip it round, Tony Todd was amazing in two films with Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was westerns. There were cowboys. If you look at
Reeves,
six separations of separation or whatever.
Tony Todd is a cowboy, man.
I know. It was really good as well.
My favorite Christopher Reeves film that is not obviously a Superman one is Switching Channels. With
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, that's really
good. At least you heard of it.
Yeah. Good. I mean, he's done some great films. Street Smart was one of my favorite.
I like Street
ones.
Smart, yes. Yeah.
With Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was a passion project for Reeve. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to do it. And, you know, the film got some Oscars out of it too. So, but really, really good film.
And
watch Switching Channels, though.
Switching it up from the cinema side, like, say, we've had a few integrations on the TV. I know we've talked about the Dean Cain.
Yeah.
But I know you have been very lucky on your channel as well, and you've interviewed quite a number of the cast of the CW Superman and Lois as well.
Yeah.
So that must have been a bit of an experience, because that, even though, not to do it a disservice, I don't think it got the love that the show that it deserves. Because it changed up the mythos and like the kind of the dynamic of Superman more than what I think we've seen. But I still think it's going to be one of those ones where people will go back and watch it in the future and appreciate it then.
I mean, I'm going to put it out there, and a lot of people are probably going to disagree. And I've been a lifelong fan of Smallville. And I've got to say, Superman and Lois is probably the best Superman TV series that we've had. And the reasons for that is because it made Superman real.
Yeah.
I mean, the show was raw. It was real.
His relationship with his sons were just,
Was it a bit gritty, a bit grimy, like a bit adulty?
I mean, you had some really gritty sort of villains. Rhea Kilstead, who I had on the other night, was the main villain in season two.
Mm-hmm.
She was Ali Alston in season two. And you had Bruno Mannheim, and then you had Michael Cutlass as Lex Luthor,
which was kick-ass.
I mean, there was one scene in season four where him as Lex Luthor and Superman have a fight in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, this fight was just like literally primal. Mm-hmm. It was awesome to watch. And I think that because of obviously James Gunn with the Superman movie, that did influence what happened to the show, because obviously they didn't want two sort of examples of Superman in the universe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to end it. And because of limited budget, they weren't going to get a season four.
Right.
But Todd, one of the showrunners, really worked really hard to get a season four. So we got a proper ending.
Mm-hmm.
Cut a lot of the cast out. The cast didn't know they were coming back.
Yeah.
I was getting messages telling me all the secrets behind the scenes. And I kept on saying, can I post this? Is it all right? Can I say it's just from an anonymous source? But I, you know what? I've made some really good friends through the series from the cast. Dylan Walsh, who I think is so adorable. He sent me a load of cast and crew items. So I've got loads of baseball caps that he owned during the production, and a stunt jacket. And but I think the series was set to go on for at least 10 seasons.
Yeah.
And they had so many plans in place for more villains and how it was going. But I tell you what, out of all the cast, the only two people I've never been able to get an interview with was Tyler, who played Superman, and Bitsy, that played Lois Lane.
Because she was an amazing Lois. We've had a few good Loises, but I don't think we've had many amazing. And she was up there, the top tier. Just because of how ballsy she was. And because normally they play like a bit feisty or like the counterpart, but she was her own person as well. Because that's why I think. But Tyler got a lot of not negativity, because he didn't have the size of what the other Supermans. So they kind of didn't see him that way. But he went from like say the Superman in like as an extra in Supergirl to his own show, and I thought he lived up. He did, because to put on the cape, put on the suit, it must be a lot of pressure. And again, daunting for any actor to try and fill the boots of the people that's come before. And he kind of done it without any fear at the same time. And he was like, this is the Superman he wanted to portray.
And another thing that I thought was very brave is that it was quite unusual as well, because I lost my dad to cancer and season three started, and I lost my dad a week before the first episode of season three started, and when it did, Lois Lane had cancer in it, and I was like, I was in tears. I was like, yeah, this ain't good. But what they did, they made it very bold, very sort of. It was very good how they did it, because you would think that Superman would take Lois Lane to the Fortress of Solitude and could repair her, and he could have done that. And he could have done that, but she decided no. It's unfair for her to get that treatment when everyone else is suffering. And it was very bold of Lois Lane. So that show for me personally has carried me and supported me over the last 2 years, because when the last episode came on of season four, I'd lost my mum to cancer. And literally in that episode, it was like closing off the storyline, and Lois Lane's cancer came back. And that's what happened to my mum. Her cancer came back, and she deteriorated quite quick. And so for me, it felt like it was interpreting life for me. And but the way that they did it was beautiful. And the way that they addressed everything, I just thought was, I mean, Jay Jameson, one of the writers, you can tell how invested he was in the story, in making it as real as possible. And that's why I just love that show so much, because they did it so much. It was just fantastic. Yeah. I just thought it was so disappointing that it didn't continue. Because some of the storylines in it, I just wanted to see. But the way that they ended it in season four, and we don't get that with a lot of shows that are cancelled.
No, we don't,
because it gets cancelled when it's on a high, then you're left. So that puts me off actually watching shows, because I know that it got cancelled. So.
I think with the CW, they are renowned to try and finish off, like see what they did with Supernatural. They give them 15 seasons and then went, right, we'll give you an ending. But it's an interesting one as well, because like my mum, like my dad, he is a huge Superman fan. He's the one who gave me the love of the Man of Steel, but he hates modern day superhero stuff, because he keeps on going back, oh, it's not like in my day, the Christopher Reeves or the comics I read. And he refers to everything that we're reading now as stupid graphic novels. It's like, oh, everything's a graphic novel, nothing's a comic. I was like, all right then. But he absolutely, like him and my mum, like my mum's not a fan of superheroes, but both of them, when it came on BBC Two, was it? BBC Two or one of the channels, they got invested and they've watched it from the first season all the way through. And
oh, that's sweet.
It was like, I think like my dad actually said it was very much similar to the Lewis and Clark, the Dean Cain one, because that was like what he loved as well. But like, I absolutely haven't had my dad text us each week saying, "Oh, have you watched the show? I can't believe this happened," and stuff like that. So it kind of brought that kind of relationship back for me with my dad, like going back to like the superhero as well. So yeah.
Look at you two being all wholesome. My dad, if it's not Adam West and Kapow and Kapoo is all over the screen, then it ain't no comic book movie. Superman 2 is one of his favourite movies of all time. Like, he absolutely loves it.
Can I just give a shout out to my brother? I want it because obviously it was my birthday yesterday.
Yes.
Yes, I won't say how old, but over four decades. And over that four decades, I've never had a Superman birthday cake. Right. Can you believe it? Never had a Superman birthday
cake. That actually shocks me.
I know, it shocked me. But look at the work he did on this cake. Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
It took him ages to get the kryptonite sugar glass. And it was great because all the kids at my in-laws today was running around with pieces of that in their mouth. It was hilarious. But how cool is that? So Paul, thank you so much. It's made my weekend and my birthday. It really has.
I think he's just popped up there. So happy birthday! I forgot to say at the start. I think we were just too excited to get started. But it's interesting to see how they finished the show because of the bringing out the movie. Because Rumblin's back. It's been going back and forth over the internet this week. There's a certain Caped Crusader that's having the same issues. Apparently Matt Reeves walked away from Batman 2 as well.
It's one of those things that Matt Reeves did such a good job with the first. And you know, I've never been a real Batman fan, but Robert Pattinson. It was so funny. I had to ignore him because I needed the loo. So I was watching the film, and 5 minutes into watching the film at the premiere in Leicester Square, I needed to go to the toilet. And as I was walking out, he was in the foyer, and I think that he was about to go. And he looked at me. I went, "You all right?" And he was just about to say something. And I went, "Sorry, I need a wee. I do apologize."
That's amazing.
But you know what? Good for Matt. If he's walked away, it's going to be for a good reason. And so it should be. I mean. I think the film industry as a whole is falling on its knees with Trump doing the 100% tariffs for anything that's filmed outside of the US. You think about it. Tom Cruise's final
Mission Impossible.
The last two movies, it cost $300 million to make. So that technically means that if it's 100% tariffs, he's got to then pay $600 million for it to be released in the US.
He's going to cripple the movie industry.
If you look at the Thunderbolts over the weekend, they were calling it a failure because it only made 85 million. It's like, but
only.
But it depends on how much it got cost to make, and then how much they're using for publicity as well. Because I think the biggest victim for that was Black Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I think they spent more on advertising and marketing than they did actually making the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that costs them, you know, a massive thing. Good on Matt though. If he has walked away, I do want to see a second one because I want to see the Joker. I want to see because we get a glimpse of the Joker at the end. It was such a good movie.
Yeah,
it was. It was really, really good movie. I loved the grittiness of it. The actual aesthetic of Gotham.
Yeah, and the best Batmobile we've had in a long time.
That
noise.
Do you know what? I've actually had the guy that drove that Batmobile.
You're going to kill Paul, by the way.
his name is Rick English, and he was a guy that rode the motorbike as Batman, and he actually drove the car. And he was the one that did the jump through the fire.
Right.
And if you ever want him on your show, just let me know. Because I tell you what, this guy is just, honestly, is such an amazing guy to have. And to know that he's been in the Batman suit. I've had Richard Citrone on, who was Ben Affleck's stunt double as well. He was in Army of the Dead.
Right.
He played the main zombie. He played Zeus.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, okay.
Yeah, and I mean... Yeah, I mean, that car to see it up close because I went to an exhibition before the premiere and it had the car there and all the costumes. And it was like in an underground bit. It was really odd. And but the car, beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh. And then kill Paul off, by the way, on this episode.
But it's amazing, though, that's the thing about going this way, because we got The Penguin, which is one of the most brilliant TV shows since The Sopranos, I would say. This is like up there, the level that we got with The Penguin. Yeah. But apparently the rumours are that they're trying to integrate the Batman story into James Gunn's DC world. But they want, but Matt Reeves wanted to be... what he says, he wanted to stand alone, be like...
Well, that was the point of keeping it away from the Joker, like as in Joaquin Phoenix's Joker. They wanted to make everything separate and like not have anything connecting it.
But I think James Gunn say something about DC Elseworlds.
Yeah, that was the original idea. But I think with the Penguin doing so well, I think they went, we want a piece of this in our world as well. But
yeah, I don't think...
No.
Yeah, I mean, you can't camp up Robert as Batman to be in the Superman movie because he's too dark and he's too... And this is the thing. I mean, Batman and Superman will face each other at some point. And we saw that, you know, in the Zack Snyder movie. And it went well with each other because it was a dark movie anyway.
But, yeah, the aesthetic of it, the colour palettes that were used kind of did work together. If you push Robert Pattinson's dark, very bleak and grim against this bright and shiny... Man of Steel, it isn't going to work. The contrast is going to be too much.
But we are going to get that in the future with The Brave and the Bold.
Yes.
So that...
Oh, you're talking about stuff I don't know.
But again, with that, I mean, who do you reckon should play Batman?
I don't know, because Robert Pattinson has kind of left a benchmark now. Because
what age are we looking at, though?
Because it's always a difficult one, because when you go with who makes a good Batman and or who makes a good Bruce Wayne, because we've had great Batmans and we've had great Bruce Waynes.
And Tim Burton originally cast Michael Keaton because he didn't see him as a Batman, he saw him as Bruce Wayne. Because Alec was rumoured to be Batman as well.
Yes.
Funny enough, he went to play the Shadow.
Yeah. I actually quite like that. A lot of people didn't like that film. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the rumours are, I mean, the fans are saying Alan Ritchson from Reacher, Jensen Ackles.
That's just come up in the comments. Alan Ritchson.
Yeah. So,
and there's even the guy who was in Twisters.
Glenn,
he's the name that's been thought about. I don't know. I like
he's
that.
So cocky.
Yeah, I like with David Cornersweat. Like, kind of like, not saying he's an unknown, but he's not a big name. I would like to just to go reach out and find someone who
you're not, Batman.
That's thing. Give someone else to be a Batman, because as I just said,
Isn't that good though? They go with an unknown, because I think that an iconic character like Superman, if you had a really famous actor as Superman that we already know, we wouldn't be as invested in that character. This is why Reeve was originally cast, and he was at the bottom of the pile when they had the original posters. It said Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando, and Marlon Brando only did a day's work on that movie and got paid $2 million. It was hilarious. And he didn't even read the script. He had cue cards up, and everyone said, what such a good performance. Because when I spoke to Sarah Douglas, she said that the reason why he squinted a lot was because he needed glasses and he was trying to read the cue cards. So that's why everyone's thinking that he gave an amazing performance.
I thought he did give such a good performance. When I read, he had to read everything off cue cards because it's not that he refused to read the script. And I was like, if that's what you get from just reading cue cards, then that man can act. I thought he was good anyway. Reeve, I'm not the huge
Reeve
fan.
Said in an interview, I think it was with Terry Wogan,
that
he said about Marlon Brando, and he literally ripped into Marlon Brando
massively.
And I completely agree with him. You know, Marlon Brando got to the stage where he was doing the Island of Dr. Maru or whatever, and I was thinking, why? And it wasn't that great. But
Reeves was grateful, incredibly grateful for opportunities that he was given, and he wanted to work hard for them. And then when he sees the likes of Brando coming in and swanning about and then demanding, because not only did he get paid $2 million for 4 hours work that he did. He also then went on to sue them because he wanted shares in the actual make of the production money. Mm-hmm. So he ended up getting more money out of that, and that's what got Reeves is the greed out of it all. He was in it for the art when Brando was in it for the money, and it just didn't sit well with him.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about Gene Hackman on how, because he originally had a moustache, did you ever hear the story about what happened with his moustache?
I think I've heard of it, but I can't remember now. Like,
Richard Donner was trying to get him to look a certain way as Lex Luthor, but in his contract he said that he didn't want to lose his moustache, because I think he was still shooting some scenes for another film that he was in, and then one day he said, Richard Donner said, right, you know what, I'll do you a deal. I'll shave my moustache off if you shave yours off. And he said, yeah, okay, that's the deal. So the next day he came in, and Gene Hackman had shaved his moustache off. And he went, wait a second, Dickie. He said, you've still got yours. And he just peeled it off. And he said, he never had a moustache. He played a trick on Gene Hackman to actually, to have
genius. I'm so sorry. I have drank a full bottle of water and I am absolutely bursting for the loo. So I'm going to go now. You guys just talk amongst yourselves.
Oh, sorry, what time are you?
I'm 2 minutes. Literally 2 minutes.
We need like Benny Hill music. And like, will she or will she not wash her hands?
I'm just glad that she's wearing pants. That's fine. Like, normally she's going pantsless. So, that would have been an interesting one. But yeah, so interesting. Like, you asked the question, so who would you cast as Batman now? Like, if you think about it, like, if there was anyone out there.
Do you know what? I like Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Right.
But I think that he's too old now. Mm-hmm. And you need someone. Thing is, though, Michael Keaton is my Batman. So when The Flash came out, I was so excited. I mean, when you saw him back in that suit, I was just like, I was like 10 again. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I mean, Alan Ritchson is an amazing actor. In Reacher, he's stunning. And he is of a build and he looks like a brawler.
Yeah.
You know, Batman is a brawler.
Yeah, but isn't he too big, though, for Batman? That's my thing. Because, again, I know he's got to be able to look after himself, but then he's got to hide and be slight and dance through the night and, like, be able to see. I can't see Alan Rickman being that much, like, of good of, like, hiding and stuff, just being
but saying that, he is only a 2XL t-shirt. Right.
Oh well,
I know that. I know that because I've spoken to the stunt coordinator of Reacher and he's sending me some stunt t-shirts. I don't know, Jensen Ackles I think is very good, and he's voiced Batman for the animated series as well. I don't know. I mean, it's great to maybe hear from the audience and people watching who they would like to have as Batman, because
they've been saying some stupid stuff. We've got Chris and Danny DeVito, so I'm not going to take anything
he
says.
I would just cast Danny DeVito in everything. So
Danny DeVito is wonderful. Honestly, I just would want to spend the day with Danny DeVito. I think that the stories that man could tell you would be astonishing. And I just think in Sunny...
I would want him to be Frank now. Just to be Frank now.
He will always... That's it. He'll always just be Frank, even though he's, like, my Penguin. Like, I love him as the Penguin. He's just phenomenal. He is my getaway collectible item as well, isn't he, Paul?
You missed out, yes.
Missed out. Did you? There was this McFarlane in a toy shop in Newcastle, and it was beautiful. I can't remember. What scale was it?
I can't remember now. It was 130. I think it was a NECA, not the McFarlane.
Was it?
Yeah, but it was the Batman Returns, the release Penguin and Catwoman last year, or the year before. And the shelf life was absolutely amazing. But I think it was about 130.
150. Mm-hmm. And I always put off, and then my husband came with us and I was like, come and have a look at this, and like trying to like convince him like this would be really good in my toy room, and he was gone. I was absolutely devastated.
Wow, do you know what? It's the other way around for me. I've got to convince a wife, you know what I mean, to let me buy stuff.
No, the only rule we have is if I'm out and I end up buying something for me, I have to get something for him, and because we have our own rooms, I have this one, he has his own man cave.
So Papa Goss has said Brandon Scaler or Jonathan Bailey.
Brandon.
I know who Jonathan Bailey is. Sorry.
Brandon. Jonathan Bailey. No. Mm. I just think that he's too. He looks too clean cut, and obviously he's been in Wicked, everyone sees him as this prince. Brandon, though, that was just being in that movie Drop, which is amazing, and he was in 1923.
Yes,
he's been rumored as well, and he's also mentioned in interviews that he would love to have a go. Mm. I think he would be a good Batman, actually, because of his size, he's quite a strapping guy. But then he's not over big. He's not Alan Richson, where he's got muscles on muscles.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that. I've just got a picture of him up now.
Oh, look. It's got Sam's seal of approval.
But yeah.
I can see it, especially with the picture that I'm looking at. Thank goodness
we can't see reflections in your glasses right now. Just making sure that you're looking at the right pictures.
No. Yeah, Chris will Photoshop that. Don't worry. But yeah, just noticed the time. So to round up as well,
yes,
I think it's coming through quite clearly how excited you are for the new Superman. I think I share that same excitement. Sammy probably not as much as me, but yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Don't get us wrong; like I'm all for the hype of the comic book, like superhero movies. He's more my husband's. Like my husband's more DC than he is Marvel, and I'm more Marvel. So
I think what's got me excited as well is with the test screen and that came out, it's been a lot of positivity.
Yes,
It doesn't sound like any comments that I've seen. It's all been nothing but, especially with the dog. They were like, if anything happens to that dog, we will riot. We will burn this place down.
Yes. One thing I do want to touch on before we wrap up as well is Henry Cavill. I know we've not really mentioned him, but he probably did look probably the most Superman comic book from that we've had in a long, long time. I know probably the movies didn't get as much love as possibly as they probably should or they might do in the coming back, like look at them in the future. I do think DC probably did him a little bit dirty towards the end. We're saying, he's coming back, but then making him quit The Witcher, then saying, you sacked it, which was a bit there. But it would have been interesting to see more because we never did get Man of Steel 2 properly as well, which was always on the development hell store. But, so what were your thoughts on Henry?
Do you know what? I loved Henry. Mm. I think he's a great actor. I think he did the part extremely well. They did a dirty on him massively. I don't like that the Rock did a dirty on him as well.
Really?
Because his manager was the Rock's ex-wife. I think.
Oh, Dana.
I'm right in saying,
yeah.
And he was sort of like literally forced. He got told that if you did a cameo in the Rock's film Black Adam, that will kickstart your career back again as Superman. Mm-hmm. And he made an appearance, and everyone went wild. I just thought he brought a lot of Reevisms to the role, and there even the scene in Man of Steel when he's looking up in the in the Earth Destroyer or whatever it's called, I can't remember now. And there were loads of things on the internet going, I've just seen Reeves' face, in that image, and it does look like him. Yeah, I am disappointed we didn't get Man of Steel 2. But I just thought that what he did with Justice League, not the Josh Whedon version, he's Zack Snyder version.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. It's quite funny because if you watch Justice League, the Josh Whedon version, at the beginning, there's a homeless man with a sign saying sorry or something like that. Mm. And Josh Whedon's name appears on the screen just as you see that image. And I'm like, that is perfect timing.
Someone in the editing room went, I know what to do with this.
Yeah. I just love I just think he's fantastic. I really do. And it's a pity that he's left The Witcher. I feel sorry for Liam Hemsworth because he's now
He's just got so much on his shoulders right now. The one thing about Cavill is the passion that he brings. It doesn't matter how you feel about the man himself, but the passion he brings to everything he does, you can generally tell there's care gone into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And but, he's a geek as well.
Oh, he is one of the biggest nerds.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. The funniest thing is, though, because you mentioned that cameo in Black Adam, because I know originally it was meant to be Shazam. Like, that was supposed to be the cameo. Shazam. But The Rock kicked off and said, I don't want it. It had
who's just The Rock think he is? Oh, like, honestly.
Because I know that he was going to make an appearance in Shazam at the end, but it ended up being his stunt double wearing the suit, because contractually, he wasn't allowed to show his face or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's silly, isn't it? These big studios and these contracts, and we just want, you know.
It could be worse. It could be Sony and Spider-Man. That's all I'm saying with that.
Well, don't get me started on the last Spider-Man movie. Literally, I got death threats. I think it was atrocious. Mm. I think that it was just a film with the writers going, yeah, we can't think of a good story, so let's just try and get as many cameos in as possible.
Yeah. Paul got genuine death threats over that movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I stopped people giving spoilers out in the group, so yeah, that was an interesting
almost
story.
A month after it'd been out. Yeah, almost a month, and they started booting off. That was them with the days.
I'm still here. I didn't walk away then, but yeah. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
No. I've had a great chat. Mm. It's really nice for you to have me on. I can't believe how fast the time's flown.
Yes,
to be fair, which is being quite nice. But you know what they say about Northerners? Do you know what I mean? They can have a good conversation.
Have you heard about us?
It's all true, but yeah.
It's all true, yeah.
No, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. I know, like I say, I've been following you a while since I think Dan introduced us to your podcast, when she said, I was on that. I was like, we'll go and have a look. I love the stuff you do. And again, not blowing smoke, you are so professional. And like, again, the layout you do, and I know I am very much like a looks guy. I love the look and the feel of your episodes as well. So,
I'm just playing it by ear, mate. Yeah. Playing it by ear, doing the best I can be. But thank you so much. It's a really nice compliment. Because it's weird, as Brits, we don't take compliments very well.
No, we don't know how to, do we? No.
We're like, oh yeah, cheers.
Thanks. You know I just cry in the corner.
Call us a dickhead. It's fine.
I'm okay with that one.
But if anyone who's listening, like I said, it's Be More Super. You can find it on, like I said, just search on YouTube. I put the link in the description down below, so like I said, you can click on that as well. But follow him on Instagram as well. You see all the shorts. You see who he's interviewing next. So what's coming up for you next? What's your next big few things?
Oh, so what's coming up? Mm-hmm. I've got some people from Handmaid's Tale. Nice. Which my wife has got me into, and praise be if anyone is watching. My wife keeps threatening to put me on the wall. So it's nothing kinky. It's apparently where they kill people. What else? I've got loads. Do you know what? I've got to look at my diary. I'm useless. Honestly, I'm like Swiss cheese because I've got a day job. I've got to manage my show. I've got to manage the show for SWIU over in the US. So I'm all over the place. I know I've got some people I've got Corey Johnson coming up from Hellboy, Saving Private Ryan and all that lot. But there's a few shows coming out that I'm getting involved with. And then I think I've got Donnie Yen on.
Oh, Jesus.
I think it was in John Wick.
He's in Rogue One.
Yeah, so he's in a new
Blade
film
2.
For Signature Entertainment. So,
oh my God.
But yeah, I'm just busy. And then obviously I'm off to London Comic Con in July. I'm going to be enjoying
Jake
that.
Oh, friend Jake will be there.
Yeah, so I'll be there filming. So if anyone's going to London Film and Comic Con, let me know. We can meet up and do a quick interview. It's quite nice getting cosplayers and people that attend to find out why they attend.
We'll send Chris so that you can experience Chris.
Okay.
Oh, I don't want you to. That's so unfair. You really are the actual Superman because of everything that you just listed off there, like day job, podcaster, father, husband. Yeah. Like, you really are doing it all.
Yeah. And
you really are Superman.
I'm turning very, very grey as well.
Aren't so, we all?
At least you've got hair. That's all I'm seeing.
Out of trouble. Yeah. Oh, bless you. I'm sure if you grew it out, it would be like black as oak.
Oh, no.
If I flip my hair over the other side, my Targaryen realness is really showing through. I don't go through grey. I go white.
But yes. So, Sammy, what have you got tomorrow?
Oh, yes, tomorrow. Forgot about that. Tomorrow is a new episode of the Monsters Up North podcast, and we're back with our cursed movie series, and it's on The Crow. It's such a brilliant episode. We debunk a lot when it comes down to the curses that are associated with The Crow. It also gets quite sad, not going to lie. It is probably the most somber episode that we've ever done. But I really hope you come and join us. We are on the episode is uploaded 8 o'clock. Is it 8 o'clock?
Yeah,
8 o'clock in the morning. If you hit the notification bell, you'll actually find out when it gets loaded. And the audio for this episode and Monsters Up North will be uploaded tomorrow for your listening pleasure.
Yes, and I believe Top Grumps are back on Tuesday. They're doing Flash Gordon. So to hear what they've got to say about Flash Gordon will absolutely terrify me, and I'm scared that will get the channel taken down. I'm not going to lie.
If the Mr. Blobby episode didn't get us taken down, then I'm sure we're okay. But if you can go and check the socials for the promotion for Top Grumps, you are in for an absolute treat.
Yeah, Lee dressed as Flash Gordon was something I didn't experience. Then we've got Anime Club on Friday. Lee and Phoebe are back. I don't know what they're talking about this week. They'll probably tell us in the...
Chris and Phoebe.
You'll
break a friendship up there, mate.
Chris and Phoebes. And then we've got the Women of Nerd Culture back on Saturday. They are doing Princess Leia. So that's going to be an interesting one. And then we're back next week with an episode where we're talking to the wonderful Taffeta Darling all about The Dark Knight, the Batman.
I wonder if I can top the intro I give her last year.
That'll
be a challenge.
That'll be a challenge, but yes. So, again, thank you, Brian. You've been an absolutely amazing.
It's been great.
Hopefully we'll be able to pull you back on when you've got time, just because I know how busy you are. But to be fair, I could sit here and talk Red Superman until the cows come home. But I don't want it to be that type of podcast that just goes on forever. But yes.
It's like a marathon. It's like, you know, let's do it for charity. Well, just keep talking.
Hey, we do charity events.
The longest we've done is 24 hours.
Is it really?
Yeah.
YouTube took us down because if you have a video longer than 24 hours, it just takes it off.
Wow.
But my soul that day will not forget that I did 24 hours of live streaming. It was horrific. I will never do it again.
Yeah. I bet. But you know what? I'd love to come on whenever you want me, whenever you need me. I would always make time. I'm just making notes and pressing bells here because literally you've got so many things going on. And I don't want to miss it. And I don't want to miss The Crow for tomorrow because
it's
one of my favourite films. And the controversy around it and everything like that. I look forward to seeing what your take is on it.
Well, we try to be respectful and as honest as we can be from the research that we found out.
Yeah, exactly. So, it can only be as good as the research, I suppose. Yeah.
And you know how much of detail Dan goes into shit, so...
We love our facts. Yes. This is me and Dan. We've bonded a friendship over facts.
Yeah. So you came on the episode where we talk about feelings and love of stuff. That's the one where you talk about the facts and figures. Because I don't like doing research like that. No.
But you did today.
Yeah. It's a black hole, isn't it? When you go into all the facts and figures of films and everything like that, literally you spend hours on it. But thank you so much, guys.
No problem.
Oh, no, it's been great. It's been such a lovely... finally getting to meet you. Dan talks about you all the time. It's now nice to put a face to who you are. Hey, Brian!
Yeah.
Right. So, same bat time, same bat channel.
Stay nerdy, everyone.
Bye!
Bye! Bye.